Good evening, Sojourn. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Peace be with you.
Also with you.
There is a Christmas gift that achieved legendary status in my family growing up. I was in high school when we received a package from one of our relatives, and after my mom opened this particular gift on Christmas morning, we all just sat there, perplexed, and stared at it, trying to figure out exactly what it was. There were no instructions. There was no picture of what it should look like when properly assembled. It was just a box of wooden pieces. And so we tried to put it together in several different arrangements, but we couldn't figure it out. Was it a decorative bowl? Was it a chip and dip? Was it a large flower? Was it a ship intended from outer space? We had no clue what it was. And my sweet mom just couldn't bring herself to ask the giver to explain it to us, and I can only chuckle when I think of what her thank you note must have looked like as she wrote it. And so for years, this contraption just sat on a shelf in our kitchen before one day she finally got rid of it in a yard sale. I'm not quite sure who purchased this gift or what they did with it, but to this day, its identity remains a complete and utter mystery to our family. If only we knew what it was, then we could have responded properly. Have you ever received a gift like that? Either you had no idea what it was, or you had no idea what to do with it? My experience over the years with awkward gift after awkward gift is why perhaps I open packages much more slowly than I did when I was younger. I'm just giving myself ample time to respond as graciously as possible to whatever it might be. Because how we respond to a person's Christmas gift is important. Regifted candles aside, those giving the present have presumably spent considerable time and thought in choosing something just right, something that they hope will bring us joy, something that we really want or need. And after buying the present and taking careful measures to wrap it in beautiful paper and ribbon, and they anxiously await that moment when we tear it all away and we open that box, only to respond with unrivaled delight. Unless, of course, it's a mysterious, flowery, wooden, spaceship-shaped chip and dip. How we respond to a gift matters to the one who gives it. But far more important than how we respond to gifts that we may receive tonight and tomorrow morning, as wonderful as they may be, is how we respond to the greatest gift of all, God's gift to mankind, the gift of his son Jesus. And yet for many this Christmas, maybe even for some of you who are here this evening, the birth of Jesus is a bit of a mystery. You're thankful for the gift, but you're not quite sure what to make of it. So you keep it on the shelf. It remains in the periphery of your life. You don't know what to do with Jesus because you don't really know who he is. But once we recognize the purpose of a gift, there are really two responses that we can have. We can receive it or we can reject it. And how we respond matters. So what exactly is this gift that God has given us in his son, Jesus Christ? Who is this child whose birth literally changed the world? Who is this baby whose birthday altered the calendar and the way that we mark time? As we close our time together this evening, we're going to look at several important clues that Luke provides about Christ's ultimate purpose on earth. And I want us just to reconsider the passage that we already heard together this morning or this evening from Luke 2, starting with verse 10. I'm going to read those verses briefly. And I want you to listen to what the angel of the Lord proclaims to some ordinary Jewish shepherds who were tending their flocks on an otherwise ordinary night. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." These may have been ordinary shepherds, but this was clearly no ordinary baby. And in the most important birth announcement in all of history, the angel gives a simple but wonderful description of this gift, God's gift to us, the greatest gift of all. And in his message, God makes it unmistakably clear what he has given. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. One brief sentence, we learn four amazing truths about this gift God gave us that we'll just consider very briefly. The first is God's gift to us was born. God gives us a child, a baby born to a virgin by his miraculous power. He gives us a baby who would grow to be a man, one of us, like us in every way except without sin. You know how when you see a baby for the first time, someone shows you their baby, and oftentimes the word that's used to describe them is that baby is perfect. That baby is perfection. Well, in Jesus' case, it was true. He was perfect as a baby and as he grew to be a man. And he was born for sacrifice. It would have been hard to imagine on that awe-inspiring night, but his purpose in coming was to give his righteous, perfect life for us and to save us for our sin, because God's gift to us was born a Savior. A Savior is one who saves people from deadly disease and dangerous enemies. A Savior rescues from peril. And Jesus came to earth to save us from the deadliest disease of all, and that is our sin, our rebellion against God, the affliction that every person on this planet is born with. And he came to save us from our most dangerous enemy, the originator of sin, Satan himself, the father of lies, who wants nothing more than to destroy us by distracting us from the true meaning of God's gift. And Jesus came to save us from our perilous fate, the death that is the only just punishment for our unrighteousness, our sin, our rebellion against God. God's gift to us was born a Savior who is Christ. Christ is simply the Greek word for Messiah. Literally, he was the anointed one. God had promised Israel for centuries a righteous ruler from the line of David who would bring peace, comfort, healing, and protection to God's people. And though King David's reign has now begun, we're still longing for the day when he returns to bring the fullness of his reign to bear over a fully redeemed creation. God's gift was born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is perhaps the most astonishing part of the sentence, because the use of Lord here is a reference to God. Jesus is not only a gift from God, but in this strange paradox that's really difficult for us to comprehend, he is God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. The angel's description of Jesus is unparalleled. This is the only place in the entire New Testament where all three of these descriptions, Savior, Christ, and Lord, appear together. As one fully man, he represented us in sacrifice, though he was perfectly righteous and undeserving of death himself. As one fully God, he's mighty to save. He's able to bear the full weight of the Father's wrath against our sin. And it's through Jesus' life and mercy that we can fulfill the very purpose for which he created us, to live in relationship with him and worship him forever. The gift that God gives us through Christ is himself. And how we respond to a gift matters to the one who gives it. How we respond to the gift of Jesus matters to God, the one who has so graciously given him to us, and how we respond to him matters to us. Because once we recognize the purpose of a gift, there are two responses. We can receive it or reject it. And the gift of Jesus is a gift that we receive unto life or reject unto death. As the shepherds gathered around the manger that held the Christ child, they recounted the angel's description. They said, "This very baby is God's gift to us, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And the people who heard this message were filled with wonder. They were amazed. But did they truly understand the gift? We know the shepherds got it. By faith, they believed what the angel had said was true, enough that they were willing to go and tell others about it. They understood what God was giving, and they received him with great joy. And they gave God the glory that he alone is due, because they had the proper response to the gift. And so the question for all of us tonight is, how will we respond to the good news of great joy this evening? Whether this is the first time that you've heard the Christmas story or the 400th time, how will you receive this gift from God in Jesus? Born to us, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Will you join me in glorifying and praising God for what he has given us in his Son? We're about to open many presents tomorrow. Maybe some we don't know what to do with. Some we don't even know what they are. But my prayer for each of us tonight is that we will receive God's gift with joy and faith and worship. And as a church family, let's make sure that Christ, God's greatest gift, is not at the periphery of our lives, but at the center of all we do on Christmas Day and every day, all to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word reminds us that for everything there is a season, and it's during this season each year that we pause and remember and reflect on your greatest gift to us, Jesus, born our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And Jesus, we thank you for humbling yourself by coming to this earth as a baby. And we praise you for your perfect and sinless life. And we thank you for your obedience to the point of death, even a humiliating death on a cross, so that by your blood we might be saved from sin and death. God, we desire to have the response of the shepherds to this wonderful gift that you've given us, that we would respond with great joy. Through your Spirit, we pray you would give us faith and fill us with joy this evening, that we might praise you and glorify you forever. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.